Okay. Well, it could be the intoxicants talking, but I think it's time to start. Welcome back to Dice and Salt. I'm Lord Richter.
And I'm Lady Toast.
And we're here to talk about episode 160, Avoidant Behavior.
A title I don't really get, but I'm sure you'll explain it to me.
I can only take that it must be a play off of, like, you know, aberrant behavior or something like that, or sort of a play on words.
Mm. Okay.
But, yeah. I mean, I got what they were doing. There's going to be avoiding stuff. That's what they're going to do.
Yeah, but I got that. Usually they're references that I get.
Their puns are better?
No, it's not necessarily that it's a bad thing. It's just I don't understand the reference. And that's, you know, I'm not going to get everything. But usually I'm pretty good at figuring out what it is. This one, I don't know what it's supposed to be.
Yeah, there's no mastermind behind it that I can see.
Okay.
I did like that the episode is coming to us at the speed of sound.
Which, I guess it is, in the sense that from the speakers to your ears, whether that's headphones or, you know, what have you. But any other way, it's technically coming at the speed of light, because it has to be transmitted.
Let's see.
Yeah.
I guess if it's fiber optic, if it's fiber optic.
No, I'm pretty sure things get transmitted at the speed of light.
I don't know that electricity over copper wire moves at the speed of light.
Well, let's find out. I'm already derailing us.
Yep, you've already gone deep.
Okay, it's close. It's about 90% of the speed of light through copper wires.
I did not know that.
270 kilometers per second. 270,000 kilometers per second. So not quite the speed of light, but much faster than the speed of sound.
That is much faster than the speed of sound.
Yep, but for the purpose of getting from the speaker to my ears, yes, it is exactly the speed of sound.
Sadly, the choke point, the slow point in the whole transmission system.
Yeah, I am the choke point.
Okay.
I don't know.
I don't know.
Yeah.
It's yet another night for me. Or another thing this night, I should say, to be more accurate.
Yeah.
I've been having a good one, folks. It's a good one. All right. So back to the episode.
Yep.
What I said last episode, that druids had arrived. I made a little assumption they were druids.
I mean, I assumed they were elves, and I think we were kind of both wrong.
We did both kind of end up wrong. I did notice that the invisibility was dropped either because of attacking the baromets or the short rounds or whatever. Sorry about the screw up last episode about it. I couldn't remember if they were in invisibility or not. And then our guests turn out to be the Wild Hunt.
Yeah, they're fey. They're very specific fey.
Yeah, not druids.
Nope.
Yeah, and this sounds so much worse than druids.
It's fey. It's always, there's nothing particularly good about them.
It's always worse than druids. Uhtred busts out the knowledge nature roll.
Yeah, to figure out what they are.
Yeah. And I could only describe this, our genus busts out the dumbfounded diplomacy to the rescue. I have no idea what direction he was going.
Yeah,
I was like, okay, here it comes. This is going to go poorly. And then I was like, oh shit, our genus is turning the situation to his advantage and bringing it around. And then all of a sudden, nope, there it goes. Yep. And then, our genus turning it back. And then I was like, all I could think of was the bird song, turn, turn, turn. And then, of course, I made my own lyrics, you know, to every hunt, turn, turn, turn. There is a prey, turn, turn, turn. And just, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. They move on to a conversation about not understanding what death is, which I guess, given some of the context we learn a little bit later, where we realize they're basically children infants, because they're literally days old.
Yeah, only like
that makes sense.
10 days, 12 days, something like that.
It's 11.
11 days, yeah.
I think they were on the 12th hunt.
Yeah, I was thrown pretty good. I was.
Yeah, I didn't see that coming at all.
I was my notes. It's like fear, so bad news, and then I go, wait, Edge of Existence. I'm like, yeah. What the hell are they talking about? And then I'm all, then it was there was something about are you immortals?
Yes, we are.
And I'm all, thank you, Ghostbusters.
When someone asks
if you're a god, yep, you're there.
You say yes.
Yes, that's right. And then we got bored, and there was someone hinting at violence because of boredom. I think it was, I don't remember who it was.
Someone
wasn't
was
our genius. I thought maybe
Teoblith.
It was Uhtred. I don't know. Yeah, yeah. The ghost of Teoblith strikes again.
Yeah.
And then I had the, basically, because the conversation's going on and they're talking about stuff, I'm like, oh, crap, did the Radiant Fire tear open a portal to the First World? I thought, oh, that's really bad. But they keep calling the place Kayadera.
Right, which apparently nobody has any reference for.
Right. Because
I think they rolled a pretty good knowledge check on it. He's like, you don't know. Never heard of it.
Yep. I that one threw me, too. And then I was like, and then boredom was back again, knocking much harder.
Yeah.
And then it seemed to have spiraled very bad.
It felt like having a conversation with like two very, very ADHD people, right? Where they'll have a very brief conversation about something, and then one of them will say something and it spirals into something else, and then the other one will say something and it spirals into something else, right? Like,
oh yeah.
They kind of kept coming back to the same couple of topics, you know, the immortal and death and hunting to make sure the sun came back.
Oh yeah, and we'll hunt you. We'll hunt you, Wild Hunt. We'll go hunt you.
Yeah.
We didn't agree to that. Well, you negotiated this, but we didn't agree yet.
Yeah.
And then we get the clarification, at least to me, the clarification that Radiant Fire created this. So we kind of our understanding of this episode as the episode grows is exactly what you described with that, you know, conversations with two folks with ADHD. Because there's the one about actions are we going to take? You know, are we going to hunt the hunt going to hunt us? What, you know, are we, you know, immortals, all that? And then there's the understanding part of the conversation on the other side as listeners were right. Picking up, hey, wait, this is, oh shit, Radiant Fire did this?
Yeah.
Like, the Radiant Fire created a spontaneous Fey realm, you know, when it remade, did whatever. I was like, oh, crap.
Well, I mean, it did redo the ecosystems of the first couple places it hit.
It did, but it like
it's not
it, like
surprising, but there seems to be some kind of randomness to it because the first one was just dead stuff, like the in
Dallas Rosser's.
Well, no,
oh yeah, Rosser's Conference. Just everything's like, wiped out.
Yeah,
everything's wiped out. It's like it's like,
but
it's,
there was,
you know,
there was vegetation, but it was weird, right?
Yeah,
and it wasn't. Yeah, and then in Gallowspire.
Well, in Vigil, remember Vigil, it plasters everybody, and the things that pop up are the undead of the people that were there, undead versions of the people that are there, right? They people
right,
killed
but it
rise
didn't,
up.
It didn't make like plants or anything. It didn't go
crazy.
Yeah,
not a lot. I guess it had some, again, it had some vegetation, but much like Rossler's Coffer, it wasn't
natural.
It wasn't natural, and it was just a little weird, but it wasn't it wasn't like alive and coming for you.
Right.
And then when we go to Gallowspire, now we've got all kinds of crazy plant. We see some crazy plants and stuff, but they're all kind of on theme of they're all icky and living yet dead weirdness because we're in Gallowspire. And now we hit here and it's, yeah, we just took a devastated place and created a brand new forest, you know?
Right.
And not only is it a new forest, but it's Fae. The whole thing is Fae. So so it's trying to get you. I mean, it's not evilly trying to get you. It just tries to get everyone. I mean, I'm like, holy smoke, guys.
Yeah. Yeah. It does seem to have, maybe it has something more to do with like the area in which it goes off.
Yeah. Again, it's weird. There's no direct build up to it as you go through the AP. You know what I mean? It doesn't. Like fit a pattern, and then you get here and go, oh, I understand kind of why it did what it did. You know what I mean? Right. I can see this.
Like it has a pattern where it changes things. Like it definitely does weird things. And so like, I would expect something odd at each location, but I don't think there's a way to predict what it's going to give you.
Right.
So
I mean, my honest guess is, I think, you know, kind of, they were, and this is, I think, a problem they have with a lot of APs, is they don't seem to leave the breadcrumbs.
Yeah.
Like they don't lay out all six books and look at it and go, okay, what are the breadcrumbs we need in one to, you know, foreshadow that you'll need in six? Or if we're going to have this series of events happen, how do we make sure they're all kind of similar enough that everybody goes, oh yeah, I get it. You know, right. they don't do that kind of connecting.
Yeah.
So the fact that at Rossler's Coffer and at Vigil, we didn't get, you know, lush carnivorous vegetation or, you know, super creepy vegetation or something or whatever. It was just a little weird.
Yeah.
And then we go to Gallowspire where it's way out of control, you know, as far as the vegetation being like insano and then over everything and, you know. But
right. But that place was like,
yeah,
just soaked in
right.
It's soaked energy and stuff. And so
right,
like
it, right. It's soaked in negative energy. It's got all this stuff. There's all this necromancy and the, you know, everything's dead. Yeah, you get, you know, you sort of, you get that and you're like, oh, that makes sense. And then we get here where there's nothing. It's not like that.
Yeah.
And then we get a Fae forest complete yep. with brand new Fae. So this yeah. thing, this thing created not just like plants, like it could have, it could have operated in a way where it just, the plants are there and then it grows them and they happen to, and mutates them into something else.
Right.
So there's the life force was already there and then it just got like supercharged.
Yeah. But this thing, this time it like made full on.
It made new life. Yeah. Creatures. Like made new life. Yeah. I mean, that's where the Baromets comes from.
Yeah. So I mean, that's where all of it comes from, apparently.
Right. Right. So in this case, it's, yeah, it's wild.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, it blew me away. And then when I started catching the references to the their mythology about we're in the 11th age or whatever age or, you know, yeah. however they were talking, I'm like, oh, my God, that's a day. I was like, yeah, oh, damn.
Yeah. When I realized, I'm like, oh, they're talking about the sun. They're talking about yep, days. Yep. It's been 11 days. Yeah.
Yeah. I thought that Alex did that really skillfully, you know, yeah. with you shoot it and it goes down and you do this. And because I heard it, but I didn't quite make the connection, but I had all the pieces to make the connection. Yeah. And for myself, at least in movies, I love it when the movie gives you the pieces and puts the pieces together in a way so that you can, you know, arrive at the conclusion a little before or about on time with when the movie reveals it.
Yeah.
I mean, that it's to like, me is pretty cool when you do that.
It's like Memento. That's what it makes me think of, at least.
What did you say? Say that again?
It says like Memento.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Which is, you know, you get one story in the beginning and by the end you're like, oh no, this is one playing out kind of backwards. And two, you know, it does the same thing. You get little pieces along the way.
I was thinking more of Men in Black when they need to get Orion's belt.
Yeah, I guess
and
so.
They don't realize that they finally catch on that the cat is Orion.
Right.
And then because the guy that says Orion's belt is an alien, you know, you should be sort of alert for he may say something, but it might not be a literal, right? Like you might not have the definitions right or his yeah. translator might be weird. And you realize it's the cat, the collar on the cat. And then it's the thing hanging on the collar on the cat. And that you, at least for me, I clicked. It's the thing, you know, it's the cat's something on the cat's collar before they go to the scene where there's this wall of pictures of the cat. Wearing his collar and on pillows and doing all this stuff because the alien loved his cat Orion.
Yeah.
a little more dramatic, I suppose, but
yeah.
But yeah, still good. I like it when it's there. So if you're really like on it, you can, you know, piece it together and then you get the satisfaction of the proof falling in, you know, the different other pieces of evidence to prove it falling into place or
right,
whatever, yeah. But it was real nice. And then they finally got to Bert because they sent the Wild Hunt off.
Yep. They got rid of them without having to either yep. hunt or be hunted.
Yep. I was disappointed that Speak with Dead did not go down the same way as the D&D movie. I swear to God, I was like, we have our Genus and Joe. There's no way that this should not go down that way.
Where they just ask each
be
other
at least
questions
one.
And answers.
It's got to be at least one. It's got to happen. They got to do it.
I think you have to ask the thing directly, though, right? You can't just ask each other questions and it answers. Or
no,
am I misremembering how D&D went?
Yeah. Well, but, you know, the guy that's doing the speaking, that's designated in the spell, the speaker or whatever, asking the questions, yeah, has the thing's attention and doesn't say, I'm not asking you questions here, just hang on, you know, and then do something else or whatever. I mean, but it's magic. So it doesn't work in the, it doesn't always work in the way a conversation would.
Right.
Right. Sometimes the rules are, no, when you have this on, your focus must be here or you're wasting effort.
Right.
And, you know, it wasn't just their lame questioning prowess that made the D&D movie funny. It was the fact they had to question like nearly all of the dead guys at the battle to figure out what they needed.
Yeah, that's fair.
But they had he had the opportunity, a super obvious one, and he let it go because they were, you know, he switched back to, hey guys, I want, you know, I'm talking to the party, to the players. And I thought, okay, that's smooth. And then Alex got his opportunity and should have let him go down, because, I mean, when else are they going to use this wand to speak with dead?
Yeah.
And one extra charge would have been a small price to pay for the hijinks and the nod, but backed out on it.
I'm sure Alex's main focus here was imitating a movie about a totally different play system.
Hey, it's funny. It's humorous.
I read
Speak with Dead. It doesn't specifically say, which means you could interpret it either way justifiably.
Fair enough.
Okay. Justifiably either way.
Okay.
So I'm hitting Alex with a missed opportunity, and I'm saying that was pretty weak Melba sauce. Oh, God. And then I in my notes, I spelled Bert as B-E-R-T. I know it was B-Y-R-T-E.
Oh, was it?
Because, well, it was a girl. So I texted Alex and asked him a couple questions about Bert. And when he replied, that was the spelling.
Oh, okay.
But I couldn't help but notice that as the sapling came up, what I really was curious was that sapling named Ernie?
What's this a reference to?
Bert and Ernie on Sesame Street? Please, God, tell me you've heard of Sesame Street.
Yes, I had. I completely did not make that connection. Like, it didn't, it until just now, like, it didn't register.
Well, Bert. He called her Bert. Right. Called her Bert. And I just...
I got the Bert thing, and then the Ernie thing just did not click. I just, it didn't, my brain said, no. There's no connection here.
And again, I'm hitting everybody on the team with a missed opportunity here. Somebody should have said, look, it's a little Ernie tree. Because, you know, Sesame Street is never, never funny. Never not funny. Never not wrong. Or never right. I don't know. It's good stuff. Just use it.
Yeah. I don't really should. They didn't do a whole, I don't think they did a whole lot after that, right? It kind of just.
No, there was a, they came upon some water. It was a pond, and there was some unholy DC-29 will save.
Oh,
and then everybody made it.
Which I'm sure made Alex real happy. It's like, oh, you all made it. Great. But that's how it goes sometimes.
Well, he did. He did say, wow, you guys made it. So, you get to bypass this fight. But unfortunately, after so many great cliffhangers and great, you know, moments to end the episode, we got like this total lame duck one. It stunk.
It's fine.
I know. It can't all be spectacular, but it was, so many of them have been on like key moments when you want to know what the next thing is. And this one was like, well, you bypassed that fight. See you next week. And I was like, ah, yes.
Look, they can't all be DoorDash.
Damn it. Just remember, Richter was right. Richter was right. By the way, when I say that, I see Zeno as the face in the Darth Vader armor when the helmet comes off, you know, and he says, tell your sister you were right, except it's Richter was right.
Nice.
I think that was it. I mean, again, not I'm really actually surprised and proud that they managed to resolve everything in the episode without combat.
Yeah. That was fun. I liked that.
I didn't see it coming. And I got to be honest, when I heard Wild Hunt, I thought for sure we had a fight on our hands.
Yeah. My initial reaction to them was like, when they come out and they start looking around, they start talking to themselves. And then all of a sudden they turn to the party and go, you killed the thing. You killed our, you know, our prey or whatever. My first instinct would have been like, fuck you. Yeah, we did. Which would have immediately just started a fight. But that was my immediate reaction to that was just, yeah, we did. the fuck you gonna do about it?
What is with you and the sass?
I don't know.
You're just feeling sassy pants today?
I guess.
You said, you know what? I'm putting on my sassy pants. I'm pulling up my sassy pants and the world is gonna take it today.
Yeah, I guess so.
No, I agree. I thought for sure there was no way that interaction could go. And then our genius went into his diplomacy and I thought, well, I don't know how this is going to go. And then I was like, wait a minute. This is spinning our way. This is, oh no, there it goes. Whoa, no, wait, it's back. Oh no, there it's got, whoa, it's back. I mean, it was like somebody was driving a drunken clown car. And when that thing finally came to rest, stuff kept popping out, making the situation better.
Hmm.
And then finally it was like, all right, we're off. You go to hunt Great Quarry. We're off. Blown away. Blown away.
Yeah.
And then the water, I thought, especially with the DC-29, when Alex said that after everybody made their saves, I was like, oh, that should never have gone down that way.
Yeah, it's fine.
I mean, yeah, it's good episode. Good stuff.
Yeah. I think we do have a guest this week. Would you like to introduce our guest?
Yes, our guest is Tay from Backwater Bastards.
Yeah, she's never listened to the podcast before, and we thought it would be fun to have her listen to an episode. We picked episode 158, and we're going to get her thoughts on it as someone completely unaware of any context for anything, but also because she's amazing and hilarious, which you'll find out.
Don't take our word for it. Listen to the interview.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm Tay. I play a human bear. What does that mean? Who knows? You have to listen to Backwater Bastards to find out. We're a sci-fi comedy improv show, and we think we're telling the greatest best friend story of all time, but that is because our moms told us that we were.
That is a tagline, and I love it.
There you go. Everything's a byline. I just keep generating them. Eventually, one will stick. You gotta force it. I gotta keep them in line. Because if you don't watch them, you know, they wander, you know? And it's a mess.
Did your audio kill us again?
Again? This is how it goes.
Okay. Take two.
I did it again, but...
That's all right. That's fine. Well, she'll be confused later, and it's okay.
She'll be like, what? Why?
She'll grab the wrong one and say, wait, I know she talked about who she was. Where is it?
Future toast. This is second clap. It was unnecessary, but it happened.
It's because Richter screwed up.
Oh, God.
This is why
she's the technical genius, and I'm just on the show.
I really hesitate to call myself technical genius.
Well, you're going to have to be to get through this.
Yeah.
I believe it. God. I think you probably are because, you know, we're not making it easy.
Well, I'll take the compliment then.
We're not making a lot of progress. That's what I know.
All right. I'm ready. I got it.
Okay.
I got it.
All right. So Tay is joining us and we asked Tay because she has never... to the best of my knowledge, heard of Inspired Incompetence, to listen to episode 158, Out of the Indeed. Kitchen and Into the Fire, and give us her impressions, her takeaways of Inspired Incompetence, specifically the Tyrant's Grasp playthrough.
It's not particularly improv. They're not like giving prompts and stuff, but it isn't not improvised, I guess. I don't really know if you...
No, I get you.
Yeah.
I feel like it's still improv because, you know, you're responding to stuff.
That's fair.
And you're figuring it out, right? Like, but I know that this is like one of those things where people are like, these requirements must happen in order for the name to be bestowed. And I have never been good at that stuff, but I think like...
I'm not good at labels, you know, either.
Yeah. What is that? Like, your things are happening to you that you didn't expect. You're responding to it. You're like weaving in a character. That's got to be improv, right? And if it isn't, then I've been saying that we are doing improv for about 6 years, and I apologize because I've been lying. But
don't apologize. It's great.
Nah,
just
it's
keep
improv.
Lying.
Heck yeah. I'm gonna lie till I die.
What, Toast? What did I say wrong?
No, I was laughing at her lying till she dies because I was thinking about our AI comment earlier. It's like she could just make herself an AI and then she could lie after she dies.
There you go. Actually,
I'm going to get going on that. That's what I need to be doing. But yeah, this is definitely improv. We're all doing improv. I've decided. This is an executive decision.
Oh, good. I'm glad to finally meet the executive. It's nice to meet you, ma'am.
Thank you. I'm gonna write that really quick on my CV.
I am the executive
of what? No.
I'm the executive. That's all you need to know.
Please don't forward me any questions about this. Thank you.
It's like saying you work for the company. Everybody knows what company you're referring to when you say the company.
Exactly. And, you know, if you need to ask, like, please step aside. Please do not impede the workflow of the company. Signed, management.
Right. I mean, if you have to ask, you've just outed yourself as an outsider.
Yeah.
You didn't know the name of the road. You're out.
You didn't know.
Wait, now there's roads involved? Good Lord.
Yeah, of course there's a road. All roads lead to the company.
So it's Rome. Got it.
Whoops. Oh, no, the secret is out.
I'll bleep it.
We will be located. But yeah. Well,
who says I haven't already been?
Well, you know, you got to watch out. People know. They're going to come find you.
That's true.
Because, you know. But yeah, I have experienced some improv. I think that's a fact.
Good.
So we got one fact.
Well, that's good. It's one more than we usually have.
That's pretty, yeah. I usually don't have any of those, so I feel like we're doing really good.
Yeah. I figured it was a good episode if you had never listened to it. Obviously, you don't have the context for book 6 or whatever, but, you know, you still get a feel for how it goes with the huge cinematic that Alex likes to do in the beginnings of books.
Yes.
Titles, which I always enjoy.
And he uses that same pattern for flashbacks or...
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. What's going on elsewhere or, you know, whatever. He uses that same style. Plus then, there's a mix of the guys talking about, you know, what abilities their characters got and, you know, which it doesn't always happen on the bookends exactly, but it's, you know, it's something that does happen throughout the podcast. Plus then you got a little bit of a feel of the guys and, you know, their back and forth. Anybody stand out to you?
I really liked that, being able to kind of hear like how people are thinking about like, okay, well, this is like kind of how I'm shaping my character and what I'm thinking. And it was interesting to hear like just mechanically how these things might work, because I think like when you're listening to this kind of stuff, it's like, okay, what are they playing with and what are they going to do and what might happen? And if I want to play this, like how does it work? And being able to hear people figure it out is, for somebody like me, is super helpful. So I really enjoyed that. I'm deeply concerned about probably everyone, but Thalias. I'm like, what's going on there? There's stuff.
There's a lot of trauma. He's died multiple times and he keeps coming back.
I was like, hold on, there's like, and Thalias has got like stuff to say. There was like a moment where Thalias did like a look and I was like, I get it. I've been at that meeting where you're like, okay, somebody's talking, they're spouting some BS and you're like doing the eye. Like, can we be real for 5 seconds here? And Thalias held it in, but I was like, no, let it rip. Tell them how it really is. And I'm concerned about everybody, but like Thalias in Randolph, ex-Randolph, like.
Ex-Randolph.
This is a situation here. Like Randolph, what's going on with Randolph, the shell, this is a concern. And Uhtred, like that, obviously there's concern there because, you know, you walking into a town and the boss knows who you are, but you're like, well, what's going on? What is going on? Immediate concern. And everybody else staring when they walk in. And I was like, nah, this isn't good. Something's going on. We've arrived. We're in town. Everybody's just kind of like, people seem to know who you are. And I was like, and they're mainly military. I was like, no, This is bad news. All of this is bad news. There's like multiple potential conspiracies that could spring from this. I mean, like, imagine walking into a military base, essentially, and everybody's like, there they are. What? What? And I don't know about it? And it's like, and there was this one part where they were like, well, I mean, we are clean. And I was like, you guys are clean? And you walked into a town where everybody else is not clean? Whoa, that's risky.
Yeah. I mean, they did just, from the, I don't know if you have the context, they came from like a whole continent away and teleported in.
Still.
Yeah.
That's a concern. That's definitely a concern.
It definitely is, because they were aiming for a kitchen.
Yeah. Well, they missed.
Yeah.
Out of the kitchen and straight into the fire.
Yeah. That's
literally into the pan. I don't think this is going to go well. I have concerns. I have bad feelings about this.
I think they do too. Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. That. But I think you've absolutely caught the AP, the flavor of the AP, man, that we've been through five books now.
Yeah.
And you caught that in one episode. So I consider that a win for delivering the flavor of
now
the
flavor
AP.
Was definitely there. Like, the music, immediately, the vibe was set. And like, oh my God, just the like dread of what, and it's not immediate dread, right? Like, it's this built dread of like, things might be okay. Maybe everybody knows you because of something great, but.
Yeah, maybe.
You know, the likelihood of it being something awesome is probably low. You know, and then there was like, there was a lot of other stuff that kind of starts to build the concern. Like, what is this going on about Hammer Rock? That's shady. And, you know, being a place designated for the activity of a last stand, you know, and like Iluna's people lost touch with them. They're out there. And I'm like, well, that's a red flag. People have been deployed and they have not texted. It's over. And so maybe, like, you know, they're probably fine, right? No, they're not fine. Nobody's fine. There's a last stand brewing somewhere. This is coming. Everybody is walking into a last chance, get in there and disable the wards kind of deal. People are going to get blasted. I feel it. I feel the blasts coming. How long is the Elias going to get to be Randolph? Probably 5 more minutes. And that's it.
Yeah.
And I have, like, deep concern about Uhtred, and, like, why does Iluna know him?
They met a while back in the previous city that got nuked.
Okay, but he doesn't remember?
I think he does.
Well, okay. No, he remembers, but I was going to say that the reason they know him is because the party was the crackpots telling him something bad was coming. And it's more powerful than they can possibly imagine to, you know...
I just immediately built this like terrorscape around like when they walked in, and I was like, "This is too scary."
Everybody, oh no, you got it.
Oh, yeah,
everybody
totally
is staring
it.
At him, and I was like, "What? Why are they staring at him?" And they don't know, but they know something. And no, I was like, "This is not gonna work out." And something's been going on in the region, because I'm like, "What do you mean? There's thousands of undead troops? Excuse me? Like, and we're not yelling?" There's thousands of undead troops and we're just in here and you guys are clean? Like, this is not going to end well. And like, the Elias is in Randolph. Oh my God. What happened to Randolph? What is boiling inside the Elias? Like, something is. Because there were vibes.
Do you want like a short version of what has happened to the Elias?
We got to give it to her.
You have to, because I am... thinking of, I'm like, what? I'm thinking about Thalias every day. Like, what the hell is going on with Thalias? Like,
so it started out, he was a grave keeper in a town called Rossler's Coffer. They were nuked as a test. He died, but didn't actually die. He just went to the afterlife, but was still technically alive.
All the PCs experienced that, yeah.
Okay.
And so they made their way back to the material plane, and then he got ripped apart by some kind of bug creature in a tomb. Like,
absolutely
he was dead.
Not.
And so Joe's next character was Randolph, but his character got to have an ectoplasmic like buddy, which he made into Thalias.
No.
Yes.
So then he gets to be both.
Right. And then Randolph died.
That is a slick. That's slick. Okay. Yeah.
But then Randolph died, and he brought Thalias back as like a resurrected medium, I think is the class name. So he gets to just be his original character in the old character's now empty body.
The rest of the party know?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
They know.
But,
and they're
but the
like,
catch to
it's funny
amazing.
Because like,
Randolph.
Yeah, people know Randolph, but and they didn't know Thalias, which is why he's like, oh, hello, Randolph. It's like, no, it's Thalias now.
Oh, but do they get it? Like, they know that Randolph hasn't just been like, I'm just changing my vibe. Like,
I think the PCs know about
the
it, but
party
like,
does.
The NPCs around them don't get it.
The NPCs definitely do not get it.
Right, right. The party knows because where Randolph died, if you don't do the right ritual, you come back as a undead in 24 hours.
Right. Okay.
So
to
Randolph
join the
dies.
Thousands of undead troops.
Right.
Randolph dies. Thalias and Joe, you know, gets Thalias back, but now in Randolph's body as this medium. And then Randolph's undead ghost comes back and attacks the party.
Oh my God.
He wants
so then they
got to
kill their buddy. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah,
they got to kill their buddy, and then going forward, he's been in Randolph's body.
Which I imagine he's basically weakened at burning, right? Because the body isn't alive, but it's not rotting while he's inside it. So, like, I love thinking about it.
So is it, like, kind of preserved?
I think his spiritual essence is preserving the body, but if he were to leave it would start rotting.
Okay, fair enough. That's fair.
It's just, it's
this
so
is devastating.
It's so weird.
Like, but, felt the there is, like, there's tension there. And Thalias has got, like, opinions. I feel it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and they were all talking in Aluna's, like, in the zone where Aluna's hanging out. And Thalias is like, okay, well, I actually see it a different way. And I was like, let it rip. Thalias, just get him. Tell him what's going on.
See, I think, like, they do let Joe do that. I think they let him go, and then they just edit it out.
I love that part because I was like, something is boiling, and everybody is like, you need to address this right now. Crazy stuff is happening. Something weird is going on. Thalias is like, y'all, it's happening. Something's happening. Something's weird. I don't know.
Well, in the city where they met Aluna, which was Vigil, they said, this is bad's happening, this horrible weapon, all that. And
the
then nobody listened
Vigil.
To him. Nobody listened to him. And Vigil got nuked, like horrifically nuked. And then they had to have this whole series of adventures to get out of Vigil, which was now nuked. So undead were coming at him, and shit was going all kinds of crazy, and they're saving people, trying to save people. It was horrible.
Okay.
So yeah, they walk in, and some of these people obviously are survivors from Vigil. And they're looking at him going, crap. I mean, in my mind, it would be, you know, crap. These bastards are back.
How bad is
it?
Yeah.
There goes my chance of making it.
Okay. That is a bit spicy because now they're back. So it's like, great. The last time these people came to town, you know, now what?
Yeah.
What are they here to tell us about today?
Pretty much every place they've gone so far has been blown up.
They're like the bad news mail people.
Yes.
Hey, well, except Zapotl.
Well,
Zapotl wasn't blown up for some reason. Well, no, wait a minute. They did burn down the docks.
Yeah, they burned them.
And okay, I stand corrected.
And the stadium exploded and the giant pig ran around.
That's right. Yep. Yeah, okay.
Well,
so,
there you go. Like, you're cementing it. Like, this is definitely like...
Yeah,
but
these
I
guys
mean,
are no good. They're bad. Bad juju.
But yeah, Randolph/Thalias had some vibes when Aluna was like talking about the events of Vigil, and Thalias was like, okay.
Yep.
And now I get, because now it's like, yeah, well, maybe we tried to tell you about this. And now it sounds like they're getting shipped into something.
Mm-hmm. We're not like, much further ahead than that. I think we're only at 160, so.
And the Radiant Fire?
Yeah.
That's a situation.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it is.
There's like multiple situations here.
They're literal fantasy nukes.
Yeah. Well, that's not going to end well.
No. No.
It has not. It has been it's been pretty vile all the way along.
Yeah, this is concerning. And meanwhile, they're the cleanest people in town. It's not a good look.
Honestly, listening to your perspective of it, for having no real context for some of the backstory stuff, it really is concerning, right? They come in and they're...
It's deeply concerning.
They're the cleanest people here, and it's like... You just got to leave and go have lunch.
How dare you, after the events of Vigil, and you're going to come in here clean like this, and everybody else is, like, coated. Imagine walking into a town where everybody is dirty, and you're up in here clean, like, little, like sparkling.
No. I think they're going to resent you at that point.
No, yeah, I was worried. Well, I was these people are going to turn on them.
They are actually sparkling, because Uhtred has that cloak that...
Oh, right.
Yep.
Does the shifty, sparkly thing.
Yeah. So, you know, how's that going to end? Somebody's looting Uhtred. Calling it right now. Because, you know, how are they going to survive this? Because you've got the Radiant Fire. You've got Hammer Rock, which, you know, the prophecy. This is definitely not going to end well. And then you've got, like, you know, these lost people that Iluna sent out, who are obviously not going to finish their job. Let's be real about that. Guess who's about to inherit some work? Like, nah. I don't know. This is probably the last episode, everyone, so.
There's nothing after this.
Everyone, yeah, well, there's one more, and based on the risk rating of, like, these, like, 8 to 10 possible death scenarios, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't see how they're going to make it. There's going to be a ghost situation, full party ghosting. TPG.
Well, they've done that
total
before.
Total party ghosting.
Maybe not a total party ghosting, but they've had ghosts before.
Yeah. Technically they have one now. They're 25% of the way there.
That's right.
There you go. So it's not even you don't even have to do that much work to clean them out. Because meanwhile, there's thousands of undead troops. Don't forget about that, everybody. Thousands of undead troops. Oh, my God.
Yeah. And every time they kill you, you come back as, you know, on their side.
Great. Well.
Well, unless you're Thalias. Somehow Thalias keeps dodging that bullet.
That's true.
So it could be TPU, Total Party Undead.
I love it.
There's concerns. This could be, like, a whole bullet list of concerns.
Mm-hmm.
It is. This is not going to end well.
Absolutely not. I like listening to you go on about it.
I'm just in extreme existential dread.
I'm sorry we've done this to you.
I got to find out what happens. I got to find out how long they stay clean.
All the finer places that you know, get your podcasts at have Inspired Incompetence in the back room in the bargain bin.
Ouch.
What? That's what the guys say.
Well,
we should think higher of them, though.
Well, I do. That's why, you know, I always pick up all the copies I can get every time.
Well, you'll find me in the bargain bin rooting around trying to figure out also what is Fiddlestitch's deal. Because I have like a suspicion. I don't know.
Well, if we make a listener out of you, that would make me happy, but...
I'm gonna have to find this bargain bin. And I'm going in it. I gotta know what happens. I gotta know, like, how long are they gonna stay clean? Are they gonna find the missing guys? Are they gonna, like, what's gonna go down? Are they going to Hammer Rock? What's gonna go down if they get there? Who's getting Radiant Fire? Who is getting Radiant fired? Somebody. What's gonna happen to Uhtred's cape? Like, what else is gonna happen? Who else knows them? Like, and they don't know, and who knows who's going to be a ghost, who's going to get in whose body, like, is Randolph going to come back? Oh my God, what's going to happen to the zombies? Are there still thousands of troops? Where are they at? How far away are the zombies? What is the ETA? Are they going to make it to the rock before the zombies show up? How many more nukes? And, like, does the town turn on them just because they were clean?
That would be
crazier
fun.
Things have happened.
Yeah, yeah.
They could become ghosts or undead at any moment.
This is true.
This is a, like, dormant weapon. Are they going to disable the wards? Who knows? Can you disable the wards in the face of 3,000 different, like, terrible things? This is a ticking time bomb. So I'll see y'all in the bargain bin where the future lies.
Sounds good.
Because I got to know what finds out. I got to see what happens.
That's so awesome.
Yeah. I have to check out Backyard Bastards because I'm enthralled at this point.
This is so good. I told you that. The first absolute first time I watched Tales of the Tavern.
Oh boy,
Tay was on it, and I was just like, "Oh my god, I gotta go, check this." So I found it. I listened to, I don't know, like a dozen episodes, and I was rolling the whole time because of Cleo DeCap,
yeah,
which is the character that Tay plays, and I don't know why this particular time I was watching Tales just a few weeks ago, and I was like, man, I gotta know what she thinks of Inspired Incompetence. I want to know.
Nah, I loved it.
So that's when I invited her. So
I loved it. The sound quality is really great. Great music. The story is really interesting. Super engaging. Like, and I've never listened to an episode, so I think that's the test to, like, just come in and stick or don't, you know? And the story, it grabbed me. I want to know what happens. There's so many things that could happen. Like, you could pick any single one of these obstacles, and it could be an entire branch. Like, it could just fork off into a completely different direction from anything that seems like it could happen. And like everybody had a unique vibe. Like there was a specific, I could like focus on any single player, and they had like, it felt like they had their own, like not an agenda that pulls them outside of the party, but there was definitely like history that was kind of bubbling to the surface that made me want to go back and listen to old stuff. Because then I'm like, what is the relationship here? What happened? What were the events of Vigil? And like, why are you talking about this? And why are you looking at each other like that? And why do you think you know that person? And why do they think they know you? So, nah, I'm in. I'm in the bargain bin.
Well, I'm glad. That's good to hear. Because I know that, you know, there's a lot of really, really popular podcasts that, you know, do tabletop games, and it's always nice when you find like the one that really clicks with you, which is this one for me, and you just want to do anything you can to make them, you know, stand out more.
Yeah, that's the thing. There's definitely a lot of stuff that, you know, people are making tons of things,
mm-hmm.
and there's a lot of big stuff too. Like, and I think finding discoverability is hard when you make your own show. Getting it in front of the people that would want to listen to it is probably the hardest part, I think, for me.
Right.
Just finding your people. So if you listen to this, that's right. Now I'm talking to you, people that listen. If you like this, you better do the thing and like sequester another human being and tell them you like it and tell them why you like it. Because if this is something that you want to hear for an extended period of time, help these people make it by getting it in somebody else's brain box. Because that's the best thing you can do for a show, is just talk about it. Because word of mouth beats the crap out of ads. It beats the crap out of, like, social media sharing. People don't want to look at this crap. But if your friend tells you, oh my god, I love this show, you would not believe this crazy thing happened in it. It's so beautifully made. The characters are engaging. I love this guy. I love them. This character is hilarious. This character reminds me of you. This game system sounds so fun. Like, tell somebody that you love it. You don't have to do anything. It's free. Just ship it to the next brain. This is the best thing you can do for a show ever. It's the only thing that really, really sticks. Like, all the other stuff that people break their backs doing to get their shows out. Like, being on Twitter, which is hell. Gross. Being on social media is painful and it sucks. Nobody sees anything because the algorithm eats it and puts it in a little box so that nobody can have it. And the stuff that's good for you almost never gets to you. It's like the ultimate curse of this incredible thing that we have. Like, we live in a time where there's this amazing tool where you can allegedly share stuff all over the world, but dang, it's hard to find stuff that really clicks with you. Instead, you just get ads about, hey, we heard you talking about cats, and now you're going to get weird ads about keeping chickens because we think maybe that's the same. And it ain't. So word of mouth this crap directly into people that love it. Because when your friends are up in there listening to it with you, then you can be paranoid together forever about, holy crap, how many of these zombies are going to get all these people? And is it all of them? Yes. Even even Randolph's body probably going to be piloted by someone else soon.
I'm going off rip. The roof. Yeah.
Rip. Double rip.
Yeah. No, that works because, I mean, if we're basically, you know, adding viewers to both our shows because I'm definitely going to go listen to Backwater Bastards at this point because I'm, I don't know, I'm in
trouble. Welcome to space, baby.
Yeah.
It's like, this is loving
these characters.
The funnest thing
arts.
To do.
These are great.
Oh, yeah. Everybody that works, that has been on the show, works either in a creative field, is it like a designer or a concept artist? So there have been a few years to crank out some art.
Mm-hmm.
We see it before we can imagine it. So that's how it started, was just, you know, wanting to draw these things. And we have a lot of friends that work in the same industry that draw the stuff too. And glob bless people that do fan art. Mm. Man, what a gift. It's, you can't ask for anything bigger than...
Fan art is great.
Oh my God, thank you for listening to my weird ass show, which is so on the edge of being like, oh my God, you made that public for people in the world to listen to, and it's crazy. And like, you do this voice all the time? Yes.
Fan art is a fun thing, I think, and it shows just how much your thing has touched other people, right? Because they went and took their own time to make, you know, art of something that you said or that you did.
Right.
It's just really touching, right? It's just, it's very
totally
special.
And nobody has to listen to any of this stuff. Like, we're all out here making stuff. And the fact that anybody comes along for the ride will never not blow my mind.
Right.
Like, we just do this because we wanted to play a game together and it was fun and we loved it. And it was how we spent time together. And, you know, to just tell our little story to escape from the horrors of the world into some new horrors that we have made for ourselves.
Yeah,
but at
different.
Least we control those horrors.
Sort of.
You know, or someone does, right?
Hopefully.
But dang, like, you kind of, I don't know how it was for you guys when you started, but man, when we started, we were like, nobody will ever listen to this. It's really just, we're just recording it for us.
I mean.
Oh, man, ours was, I think, pretty entertaining in that this is the second AP the guys have done. They had one before that was Skull and Shackles.
Pirates, basically.
And yeah, Pirates and Pathfinder again, first edition. And I'd started doing every Tuesday, I was doing like this. I'd listen to the episode, and as I was listening, I'd type in the Discord just my feedback from the episode.
Oh, that's a nice thing, too.
Yeah. Live.
Love those people.
I'm not sure how long I had been doing it, but Toast said something in one of the things. She goes, you know, Richter and I should get together and do a show.
It was a one-off comment, and now
famous last words.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I said, I'm down, let's do it.
Yeah.
And the next thing and Toast is like, are you serious? And I said, yeah, if you want to do it, let's do it. It'll be fun. And then the guys, it was Matt and Alex, reached out to us and said, are you guys serious?
Right.
And I'm like, I'm doing it if Toast is doing it.
It's another thing of, this is basically fan art. It's audio fan art.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because we're 83, 84 episodes deep into this thing now. Like,
and we started on book 4.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Yeah.
And we didn't even start at the beginning, and we're, you know, we've just been, you know, our short little, well, I say short little, I think we had one episode not too long back. It was over 2 hours because we had somebody from the Discord join us to talk about stuff.
Yeah, all the stuff.
Just all the stuff going into the end of book 5.
But, yeah. Oh, I love that.
But yeah,
I was kind of listening through and like picking random ones. And I either heard that one or one like it where somebody was like kind of visiting. And mm-hmm. I was like, that's so cool.
Yeah.
Yeah,
we do like to get
the guys once in a while, too. Mm-hmm.
We'll get them on here, too, and just talk about either a specific episode or, in the case of, you know, Nick or Joe, whatever they feel like.
Yeah.
we get stories, which is always
fun. And that's nice. It's nice to hear that stuff because, like, you hear the show mm-hmm. and, like, you know how how the characters are handling stuff, and you know how they feel, and you see the story, but it's nice to also kind of hear what the players are thinking, kind of like the meta language of what's happening outside of that. Like,
right.
Why'd you make that choice? And what do you think's going to happen to you? And what are you doing to gear up for it?
Mm-hmm.
And just like the vibe of the table, like the feeling of what is this table like? I think that's the best part for me, in a way. It's just like, these are the people that make a thing I like, so...
I want to know more
about
them.
What is it like at that table?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I love that.
And we get love, too, in the Book 5 retrospective. They started doing that for sure with this AP. I can't remember if they were doing any of that with Skull and Shackles.
I don't think so.
But in the Book 5, there was a lot of the guy that GMs the game, Alex, he's all... And the conspiracy theories presented by, you know, one of the folks at Dice and Salt, you know, she'll remain nameless. I mean, that was, he dropped several of those because, you know, he was coming after some of the stuff I was saying, which was, you know, it's fine. It's awesome. I'm just, you know, a lot of what I did back when I was typing, you know, my kind of my live listens in the Discord, and then a lot about what we talk about is just sort of, you know, what I see happening or what I looks like is coming in the future kind of a thing, which of course sometimes is completely off where the AP goes, you know? So it's just, you know, hey, I see this person, this smells like this to me, boom. And then sometimes I'm right on.
Yeah.
Apparently we had enough of an impact that they made us characters in their Patreon only show. And then they killed us, but.
That's right. That's right. We were named characters in their Patreon only show. And then we got killed off.
We got knifed in
our sleep, no less, in our beds by the PCs.
Because they knew they couldn't take you in real life.
Exactly.
I mean, like, is there any bigger, what do they say? Like, this is the ultimate fan art, to be enshrined in an dishonorable death.
Right.
In someone else's show.
That's good.
There it is.
Yeah. It's like, oh,
there's the total party wipeout.
Yeah.
It's already happened. That's incredible. Dang.
We've kept you much longer than we've intended to, even with recording and not recording.
Heck, no worries. It was really great. I really enjoyed it.
I'm really glad. It makes me happy.
It was definite. It was good stuff, and the sound quality was great. Nah, it was great stuff.
Awesome. I sent you an invite to the guys' Discord.
Hell yes. Hell yes.
And here in our DM, I put down the link to their website so you can get more episodes.
Nice.
I will tell you, if you become a patron, you can listen to episodes on Tuesdays.
Oh.
And you get Dice and Salt that you can listen to Mondays as a reminder about what happened last week, as then you listen to Tuesday to the new episode.
That's just free, though. We're not behind the patron paywall.
Oh, that's nice. That's a nice...
Oh, okay. I thought we were. Never mind.
We're posted on Patreon,
that was like a nice pitch, though. Like, I don't know. Maybe.
I kind of know what I'm doing. Yeah. I kind of know.
Like, I just ruined it. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Toast is like...
No, we're free.
These are not the droids that that you know. Delete.
Yeah.
I don't know. I was like, wait a minute. That's kind of a... slick deal there. Like, I don't have anything doing. Nothing's going on Monday. What am I going to do? Because, boy, when people start cranking through episodes, they're like, well, now what?
Yeah. Oh,
what
I do that.
What am I supposed to do now?
I do that. Where, like, I'll binge on a whole new series and get to the end of it. And it's like, well, now I got to wait a week to week. And I don't like that.
There's nothing more devastating than getting to the end of something and being like, I have to be a week to week person now.
Right.
I can't live like this.
Oh, you got, look, you catch up and you're like, oh my God, I got to go week to week. And then you go, wait, no, I don't. I can go back and do Skull and Shackles.
There you go.
And boom, you can keep that binge going till you make it to those next week to week episodes.
Okay.
So you're,
this
you
is
can
like
get two
a nice,
one.
This is a nice, like, safety plan.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And even with the Patreon, there's the Patreon only, which is just at the $10 a month level. There's a whole nother AP they're playing in there that's only for patrons.
Yeah.
And the once a month, if you're at that $10 level, you can actually listen into them playing their their full session.
Mm-hmm.
So you can hear them playing it, and it's not, and then they chop that down to what gets
released,
posted for that episode.
Holy crap.
Yeah, you can taunt them while they're...
Are y'all making Toast edit all of this?
Hmm?
No, Toast doesn't edit this. Toast just does Dice and Salt. She just does Dice and Salt.
Okay. I was about to be like, everybody, please pray for Toast.
I don't do that much.
Well, you should pray for her anyway. She has me as a partner in this, and that's a heavy burden, folks.
Please pray for Toast while she edits this segment.
Yeah, because if I want it to come out Monday, I have to edit it tonight because I'm leaving on a trip and I have no time.
Oh, this is the eternal bane of the editor.
Yes.
Life or editing?
Yeah.
And the answer is always editing.
You have to put the content out there.
That's everything is content, and content is all the time and forever.
Mm.
Please leave offerings for Toast during this difficult time.
I will work for Skittles.
Oh, amen.
All right. I guess.
All right, take us out, Toast.
Well, I was going to let her, once again tell us where
we can find
her since.
Oh, yeah. Hey, I'm Tay. I live on the internet, in places. But full-time, I live on Backwater Bastards, which is a sci-fi comedy improv show about three best friends that are just trying to find the next best place to eat. And boy, it really doesn't go like you think it would. I play Cleo the Cat, a human bear. What the heck is that? I was a human. Something happened. Then I got sleeved into a bear. Is it a bear? Kinda. But thousands of years of evolution have happened, and things just ain't really the same. But we're in space, cruising, eating things, making a mess. Just like real life, only better. Bam! See you there!
Thank you very much for coming on, Tay. It's been
Thank you for having me. This was awesome. It was just cool to talk about it. I really enjoyed the episode, and look for me in that bargain bin, y'all. That's where I'll be hanging out.
And that does it for us this week. You can find us and the players on the Inspired Incompetence Discord. Links can be found at inspiredincompetence.com. I'm Lord Richter.
And I'm Lady Toast.
Bye.
Bye.
Oh my God. You know what? I'm going to say it. Because you just don't know. Who knows what you, because if you've eaten gas station sushi or a hamburger from a vending machine, who knows? I have seen it. It's out there. Yeah, it gets worse. But hamburger in a little packet, I'm not sure what happens in there. But they are in there. And then you press the button and the hamburger gets dropped somewhere. Maybe they heat it up. Who knows? Maybe they don't. Maybe it just pops out and you have to put it in some disgusting public microwave. But the hamburger's been in that machine. So, now that's where worms come from. The abuse is coming from inside the house. You know what I mean? It's hard these days. People don't realize that the save icon was a real thing. No, this was real once. And I'm wait. That's what the $500 was for? I knew that.